I'm Sylvie Avery, and welcome to Spirit's Work, the show that's designed to stretch your mind and broaden your understanding about life on Earth, life after death, and life in other dimensions. And this week we'll be discussing primal addiction. And if you'd like to join us, the phone lines will be open. The number to call is 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227.
Well, hi, I'm Mick Avery. As well as Spirit's Work on bbsradio.com on Mondays at 7 p.m. PST and Thursdays at 1 p.m. PST, we also have another radio show, which is Spirit Teaching on artistverse.com every Tuesday at 7 p.m. PST. If you would like to know more about us, our books and CDs, or have an Akashic reading, please go to our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com. I'm a deep trance medium, and as usual, I'll be channeling our resident spirit expert, Gregory Hay, who will be taking center stage on the show. Not for me, of course, I'll be asleep. Spirit guide Gregory will borrow my body so he can speak to you. And if you have a question relating to our subject of discussion this week, then, as Sylvie said, pick up the phone. He'd love to hear from you. So, as I'm about to go to sleep, I'll hand you over to Sylvie. Have a great show. Bye.
Thanks, Mick.
Bye.
Gregory is a spokesperson for a group of spirits of higher intelligence called the White Cloud Group, and they consist of scientific minds of all descriptions, along with ordinary people who have a valuable input to make. They're an educational team and have come to give us access to information that we need to know in order that we may move towards a more harmonious and peaceful way of life, to understand the nature of our existence, and hopefully save us from the negative spiral we seem to be caught in. It's a huge event in the spirit world when we do this kind of communication. It's not only us on Earth who will be listening, but also thousands of spirit beings in the spirit world who are also listening and watching the experts in the team working in this way. There are those who have had a physical life on Earth already, and also those who would like to in the future, which is why, as the mediums for the group, our aim is to offer positive input into exactly why we are here and how we can, with a concerted effort from everybody, restore the balance and the well-being of the planet. As we said, if you want to know more about us or our website, it's spirit-teaching.com. And again, the number to call, if you have a question or something to say relating to our topic, and please try to stay on topic, the number to call is 877-876-5227. Hello, Gregory.
Hello, friend.
Hi.
Wonderful to be in your vibration once again.
Thank you. And today, when we were talking about doing this show, first of all, I called it addictions, and then you said, no, we're going to call it primal addictions, because that's slightly different.
Yes, quite so. The reason for this is because human beings tend to think of forms of addiction that you have as always being negative. You see things in that way because you have that label, that connotation upon it. Whatever that addiction may be, whatever that excess may be, as society perhaps sees it, or as others around you see it, whatever you are suffering from, in their eyes, may be something perfectly normal to you. So it is all a matter of opinion and judgment.
Mm-hmm.
The whole point about primal addiction is that human beings actually fail to realize they are an addictive race. Completely. The point is, that I am trying to make here, is not to dilute what you think of as an addictive personality, but that we have to acknowledge that some people have perhaps further addictive personalities than others. Some are perhaps less receptive to change than others, and therefore become anxious and find it difficult to manage a situation which is bringing them out of their normal pattern of behavior. Primal addiction is about the whole situation of who you are in your life, what you have become, the order of things in your life, how you have actually adopted principles in your life by which you live. So what I'm referring to is even when you get up in the morning and you brush your teeth, you do all of those things going through the routine of your life, and they actually become comfortable to you because they are habit forming. They are the things, the practices that you bring about, which actually bring you comfort to your day. Because they are familiar, because they are things which actually take away a stressful side of your life in not knowing what it is you are going to do next, perhaps. Perhaps it is to do with the way in which you actually brush your teeth, up and down, side to side, round and round, whatever it is, you see, you are actually using this practice of doing something in a certain way. And what we are seeing is that this is actually part of a primal addiction, addictive personality that human beings have, perhaps because they have become very safe in the institution of commonality between one another. So you perhaps will go to work. You will get up at a certain time in the morning, 5 or 6 days in every week. Perhaps it is that you do certain things. You actually constructively make certain avenues in your life to try to conform to normality in that life. All of these may be addictive personality traits that you are revealing. So I'm not saying by revealing this that you are then going to be angst-ridden about these addictive personalities that you have. All human beings tend to have this way within them because they seek comfort, they seek security and well-being. Naturally so. People do not really want to gravitate toward violence or aggression. But it is here, and why we have brought this about, this situation, this actual subject matter, is to help people to understand why they get angry about something. Mm-hmm. Where does this sudden anger spark from? Comes out of nowhere. All of a sudden, you have this raging personality, and you don't really understand why. People become angry because of situations at the workplace environment which have become alien to them, which they did not realize were going to happen, perhaps. Exactly in the same reasoning why it is that certain students at school will perhaps form disruptive behavior because they are unable to fit within the logical primal pattern of addiction that society has set itself. Mm-hmm. You see? Mm-hmm. So you then have a difficulty, perhaps, with this attention deficit, as you see it, because they are not fitting into the normalcy of which you have described or prescribed as a society as a whole, you see?
Mm-hmm. Well, yes, I mean, there's certain people, would you say that certain people that actually do think outside of the box, naturally, are not conforming to that specific addiction, maybe, that they are, that they should be falling into with their peers around them and that sort of thing?
Yes, absolutely.
So then they will feel alienated, won't they?
That is true. Yes, they will actually feel, perhaps, as though they are not actually one of the human race, mm-hmm. in some senses. In that, as you say, they are thinking outside of the box of self, out of the normalcy which has been prescribed. Perhaps they have actually used some element of their educational standing or something like that, with which to actually help them in order to bring something outside, to understand something outside of that normalcy they have so far observed and yet denied for themselves. Now, this may actually happen to some children at a very early age, for example. They may actually think and feel that they do not personally belong to the subject of society. Some children, beautiful minds, budding spirit in physical form, are actually bringing to themselves and sensing and feeling that the energies within them, the energies that have permeated and that they have realized, are actually something which others are not feeling or sensing.
Mm-hmm.
You see, so it can come from something as simple as sensing another being behind you or another being beside you, understanding that the phone is going to ring at any moment now and know who is on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
Telephones are very good communicators in that way because of the energy pulses of the person's intention at the other end is something which actually greets the human being if you're sensitive enough to make it, to understand it, to pick it up, you see. It actually reaches the human being before the telephone actually rings.
Right, so it's not the actual noise that you are thinking is going to happen.
It is the activity and the intention of the mind at the other end.
So we're talking about all these different senses, aren't we, here?
Yes, quite so. Now, so your primal addiction tends to be, then, things to do with comfort or, as I say, to do with this sense of normalcy. It means that perhaps you will have a certain regime in your life that you like to... I understand in this particular country that you drink... that you have coffee and donuts.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you see, may well be a part of your regime, of your daily ritual, mm-hmm. that you enjoy. It may be that you have some other thing for breakfast, perhaps croissants or whatever it is, cereal, toast, whatever it is, whatever you generally tend to have. People often find a sense of comfort in that aspect of their life. And actually, of course, to addictive personalities, those personalities which are slightly more intense than others, others being having the ability to be able to change their minds from their addictive personality and to alter the situation. Addictive personalities, of course, have a great difficulty in doing this. And the more that you step into this commonality of the regime of your life, the more it will become that you are focused upon this commonality and find that you, in your very thoughts and your walk of life, are doing something which is repetitious from one day to another, and also that the contents of that day are repetitious. Does this then leave anything to chance or for anyone's good who is perhaps working in a ordinary common or garden job? Perhaps like, for example, they may be picking up dustbins or sweeping streets or something like that, picking up rubbish. This, of course, actually means that they are able to do something. If it is a job that you are doing which allows you to actually switch off while you're doing it, so therefore you do not actually have to concentrate your brainwave activity upon the focus of that employment or that work that you do, but you're actually able to think of something else at the same time as doing it, that means it actually gives you perhaps a different hold upon life or a different ability to move to change, possibly. People who sometimes have addictive properties in their life may find it difficult, particularly if they are in an occupation which is very restrictive. Perhaps it is an occupation which actually requires a great deal of mental activity. Acute senses of awareness, perhaps, needing to be met in order to carry out that work practice. Perhaps it is that you have to be very meticulous with your fingers, with your very dexterous with your ability to manipulate certain situations or certain physical things. Now, of course, this is all about a situation of training and that kind of thing, but you may well have the situation as well of actually finding that you become not a slave to it, but that you become very focused around that situation, and also that you are also very focused upon the other situations that you introduced that day. So, for example, you may be working very diligently and correctly in the job of work that you do, and yet perhaps it is that you actually pick certain food groups or something like that, or certain situations to do with your diet which are actually quite similar from one day to another. These also are situations of your personality addiction. So, but I'm not saying that these are negative traits necessarily, but that perhaps it may help people to understand that when something is brought out of place, they then find it difficult to cope with because it is out of this field of normalcy, which has so far inspired them to crave the gentle persuasion of one day after another being very similar. All of this brings to people peace, you would think. But actually, to a certain extent, what it also brings to people is a sense of fear of thinking beyond this point of self-control. So you then have a situation of great difficulty when a point of beyond the self-control arrives. And difficulty comes upon this situation, particularly when you are dealing with a simple thing like another human being. Because not all human beings are that predictive. They too may be having other issues within their life to do with their personality and the way that they think. Perhaps they have issues to do with their side of their personality. Perhaps something has not gone quite right in their day, or that due to a failure of their action or activity, they have created a problem outside of themselves, but one that relates to you. This then is you reacting to that. How dare you encroach my space with your lack of foresight, or your lack of ability, or something like that. And that is usually something which snaps into anger.
Yes, absolutely. You get people staying in jobs that they're really unhappy in, but they're too scared to move from for years and years. The same with houses, maybe, in an area, and they are actually fearful of moving out of an area. But even though they don't like it there, but they're just fearful of what will happen because nothing's happened to them yet, but nothing good, you know, nothing particularly bad, but nothing good has happened either that could happen if they were to move.
Yes, quite
so. You know what I mean?
How else can a human being step outside and create the dream they wish for?
Yes.
The difficulty tends to be that human beings then find themselves at a point or place of crossroads where they have this great unwelcome decision to make, which is actually forcing them outside of this realm of total security.
Mm.
I feel that within a society which controls itself in such rigid ways as that, it actually has a potential to become over-explosive or over-reactive to a certain situation. So you would wonder then perhaps why it may be that people, perhaps in their driving habits or something like that, exhibit this lack of concentration or this lack of forgiveness, perhaps, towards someone else's error. And they become very angry at this intrusion into space.
Yes.
I am in my own space driving my vehicle. And all of this space is protecting me, cocooning me from the rest of that out there. And yet, as soon as they are confronted with someone stepping outside of this normalcy, and the sea of life brings this change in that they have to, or you have to react to it, some people become very angry at having to change this reaction, having to actually think, instead of just perhaps moving something on remote control, or because perhaps the journey or the route taken is something so familiar you could almost do it with your eyes shut.
Yes.
Or, heaven forbid.
Or somebody taking your parking space that you always use every day or whatever when you go, or your table at the restaurant that you always like to sit in or something like that.
Even, of course.
How dare they?
Even, of course, to the point of fact that you will use an addictive personality within your own home, sit in a favorite chair, in a certain position within a designated room, in how you can then perform the tasks that you would always religiously or righteously perform night after night.
Even the same knife and fork?
Yes. Well, sometimes.
Sometimes, no.
I think that is probably going a little far.
I know people like that.
Yes.
I do.
So do I, actually, friend.
Yes. Okay. Right. Yes, absolutely. And it's an instant anger. It's explosive. It's wobbly.
Yes.
It makes people wobbly.
Yes.
I mean, obviously, probably not the knife and fork thing, but the other ones, some of the more major situations.
Yes, quite so. The point we're trying to make here is that these are the little triggers which tend to move situations out of all proportion that make it actually most difficult for people to accept, perhaps, that because they have exploded, that they've actually stepped outside of the rationale. The primitive has taken over in an obscure and uncontrolled way because they have not actually realized how rigid they have become in life experience.
Is there such a thing as an addiction to being an achiever, having high goals and then always just chasing?
Of course.
Working too hard, I presume. That might be a classic example of that. People that are just workaholics.
Well, it may be, although I have to say that some who do that actually have an ulterior motive, generally have another design upon their understanding, perhaps because they are viewing something upon their event horizon which is far beyond anything else that they can actually put into words. Addictions can be that way if they are more extreme or negatively displaced. It is very difficult for a person with, shall we say, an addictive personality which society would recognize, then means that this personality has become beyond normal. It has extended to this other realm of repetitive behavior and activity which has to have a reason to be.
Right.
And this having to have a reason to be keeps them in the bounds of understandability, so that, well, it is rational for me to do this because I always do it. Or it is good for me to do this because I can see that I must make this point somewhere in the distance, even though they may not actually understand that this point is never achievable.
Quite often.
Yes, quite so. It actually may be that they cannot actually see the horizon of what they, or the goal that they want to achieve, but actually just the whole way of doing it becomes the achievement in itself. This then, I suppose, to some people, becomes the normalcy for their life, as it is for many.
Yes, because they actually forget how to be anything else without it, don't they?
Yes, quite so.
It doesn't enter into it. Are addictive personalities, to do with sexual orientation, I mean, are males or females any more likely to be like that? I know we all are. We've just said that everybody, the human race, is an addictive race. But are males and females, is there a difference there?
Well, it really very much depends upon the society in which you live. You may live in a society, for example, who actually disobeys the primal law of the addictive process, the primal addictive process of human behavior, and actually disallows one section of or gender to take upon itself that role. So therefore, you may have a society which demigrates women into being subservient, wholly subservient. And that this in itself is not just about power and control or religious fervor, perhaps, but is actually about the whole seership of whether a human being allows or understands the point of view of the another, a different gender from themselves. Mm-hmm. If they have become primal in their excuse for their understanding as being that the only gender involved in understanding can be that of which they are, so males perhaps, as it is very seldom that females adopt this role, they are much too sensitive for it. It generally tends to be that human males, in the respect of their gender cycle, will actually take upon themselves this extended responsibility and power over another gender, purely because they see themselves in that way as being the only permissible candidate to bring the wealth of love, perhaps, to themselves, the wealth of knowledge, or the distinction of education, the understanding through that education that human beings may be able to then galvanize something of more for themselves than the previous generation could. This has always been a most definite, deafening cycle of repression that certain groups and certain societies make upon their population, a way of power and control, and deceiving oneself of the ability for change. And in response to a civilization moving forward from its primitive years.
I'd like to say thank you for those who may have just joined us on Spirit's Work. You're listening to Spirit Guide Gregory Hay, being channeled by Deep Trance Medium Mick Avery. I'm Sylvie Avery, and we're discussing primal addictions. If you'd like to join us with a question related to our subject, then the phone lines are open, and we'd love to hear from you. The number is free phone, 877-876-5227. Would you say that negativity is an addiction?
Absolutely so. Negativity can work like a drug, after all.
Yes.
And it may have a very similar response to an addictive personality, exactly the same as someone who drinks alcohol or smokes cigarettes or perhaps uses addictive drugs or something like that, narcotics in some way. It may even be that they actually become attracted to and attached to other addictive narcotics, which are not actually in that way illegal.
Like prescription drugs.
Yes, quite so.
Like that.
Yes. And this is a very similar trait. It is actually because of the desire for this normalcy, for this peace in life. But actually it is peace with a price that is actually beyond the concept of the mind of that person. They cannot actually maybe relate to the individual situations which have led up to that addiction. It's part of the problem. With negativity, in fact, it actually releases pheromonic activity, even hypersensitive activity, toward further negative traits. So you can see that someone who has become seeped, shall we say, in a negative situation, perhaps they have grown up with it in their neighborhood or in their culture or something like that, then you have a very great difficulty to bring that person out of that addictive trait. So does that mean to say that because it is addictive, that it is forgivable? Particularly if it is something which creates great negativity toward other beings, perhaps disturbs other people's peace, perhaps actually brings a trait of violence to other people's worlds. I have to say that there are many people on your side of life who bring about this trait of violence and extreme negativity because of the pursuit of own goals. Because they perhaps want to think only in the rigidity of their own stream of thought and do not actually take into account within this stream of thought anyone else's point of view or their well-being or their peace in their life, their privacy for their own thought.
Well, exactly. Well, it's similar to the person who's in the car that's getting in your way and causing you to slow down when you didn't want to slow down and things like that. People are going into their countries and living their own life and that sort of thing, and they are encroaching and infiltrating their comfort zone in space of the people that are living there, and they don't like it. And it's just so it is race related, isn't it? Really,
it can be race related, most certainly. Yes, perhaps there should be a situation of bringing together and understanding this racial tide, which is actually fixed to it, which is joined to this sense of feeling and this addictive activity. Yes.
Okay. Okay, sorry, I thought we had somebody on the phone. All right then. What about animals? Can animals have these primal addictions?
Hello?
Oh, there is somebody there. Hello?
Hi, this is John.
Oh, hi, John. Speak up, John.
Can you hear me okay?
Can you speak up a little bit louder?
Not much.
Okay.
Just want to say hi, love the show, and got a couple questions.
Yes,
thank you, John.
Okay. How does one overcome the urge for the comfort of repetition? And are spirits able to enter a host who participates in daily repetition, or one who recites chants or mantras? Thank you.
Yes.
Okay.
The situation of overcoming repetitious behavior, it isn't to say that you need to necessarily overcome all forms of repetitious behavior. That isn't what I am saying. It is actually part of your primal addictive personality, and that all human beings tend to exhibit certain forms of this primal addictive state. I'm not saying that it is a negative situation. I'm just really trying to bring people to understand why they have this situation and where their anger may come from when they step outside of it, or when they are created into a feeling of that they actually have to make a different decision in their day in order to cope with someone else's activity upon you. So that is, as it were, an outside pressure revelation to the human state. To say that spirit, on the other hand, have anything to do with this form is, I suppose, depends upon the extent to which the spirit, once in the spirit world, is able to come to terms with the primal addictive senses that have laid out their life thus far, certainly their life in the physical world. Obviously, there has to be a way in which people, once they are in the spirit world, are able to step back from that physical life and all of the activities of that life, you see. For example, many people are very definitely focused upon the life. They are trying to actually bring a sense of purpose or whatever and are very entrenched within it. So what I am saying is that in the spirit world, once someone has passed to our side of life, they actually take a big sigh of relief. Thank goodness that's over with. I don't have to worry anymore about what I'm doing, how I'm behaving, what other people may think of me, although some people will still continue that form of behavior because that is actually part of their conscious reality, part of the system that has made up their conscious mind thought parameter. How it is that they move from one situation to another is something very much of the characteristic that was brought about and that grew with the human being, with the physical state of reality. So therefore, you could say that for some people in the spirit world, their state of personality is, of course, echoed by their characteristic, those things of life they have come to learn to live with, to be as a part of them, of what makes them different to someone else. So what makes you different to someone else is perhaps not only the way that you eat your food, or that you perhaps drink certain beverages or whatever of a certain time of day. It may well be that it is linked to the personality concept of how you behave in your life and how you are toward others, which of course echoes your sensitivity and your responsiveness to your spirit. So it may be that for a person in physical life, that they actually enjoy certain interludes from that physical life whilst in the relationship and recognizing that they are spirit, which actually gives you, the physical traveler, the spirit having a human experience, an indication that there is something far beyond the physical normalcy that you are experiencing at this present time. As a spirit, then, you are able to join with that. As a conscious being, you are able to join with that spirit and have interlucid times when you are illuminated in your thought and able to understand your goals to be met do not necessarily have to fit in such a rigid pattern, but that you are actually able to breathe, take the strain from your neck, enable your shoulders to move away from your ears, so that you are actually able to be at peace. And that when someone comes to you and they disturb your day, perhaps it is that the situation that they bring to you is something depicting their callousness. Or perhaps it is that it shows their ineptitude in the work that they are bringing. Perhaps that you recognize that they are worth less than you had built them up to be. This really is to do with the tension variant which exacerbates human conditioning in the mind. It is something which, when something steps outside of your realm of expectancy and produces something of failure or does not make the mark that you, the line of, that you have drawn in the sand of your conceptability of how you think that that should be, then quite simply, it produces anger. And that anger is not something that you need to tolerate. It is something that you can simply step away from the anger, and allow it to dwell in itself over there, not inside you, but over there. Perhaps it may even be a form of anger which you find difficulty in relating to, or it may be something very familiar to you because you are used to that anger rising within you. Recognize it. Learn to step away from the anger. To visit the island of peace is but a simple task. It is something that you can just draw the breath in. Allow it to escape you with the anger within your inner being. Understand that the reason the person perhaps has, I understand you call it, cut you up on the interstate or something like that in a traffic.
Yeah.
The reason why they have done that is because they are over-anxious, because they are selfish, because they are stupid, because they are thinking only of their own recognizance and no one else. That person is not having a nice day. Smile to yourself and reflect upon that issue. They are doing that to try to get ahead of you. Let them. They may be the one person who is actually going to have a difficult reflection for their life because of what they've just done. They think that they have outsmarted you, perhaps. But actually what they have done is created a negative inflection in their own life.
Okay. Is John still there?
I am.
Okay, John. What was the second part of your question? You mentioned spirit in the home and mantras and things like that.
Yes, when people do chanting and mantras, that's a form of repetition.
It is actually quite different, friend John. It is actually to do with, I understand you are perhaps thinking about this as being a repetitious behavior, but sometimes some forms of behavior which are single-mindedly focusing your thoughts away from the anger or the situation of life which you find difficult to cope with actually sometimes enable you to deal with it in a different way, because by reciting something over and over again for those who are finding it beneficial, what actually happens is it creates a void between you and the object. This means that you are then isolated within this repetitive sound. You are invoking the sound within you and actually turning the vibration within you into a different level. You are changing the vibration of your own state through the mantric operation. This is because you are using revolving sound that a mantra brings to you. This is something which, through the repetition, gradually builds and becomes more of a cyclical inner harmonic event. What this actually produces, as I say, is that you are then feeling on an island of peace, because that is what you have created through it. So it is not the same. It is not this addictive, primal addictive scenario. It is actually allowing you to become welcomed upon the island which you create yourself through that ordeal or that ordinance with your own inner harmonic personality.
Hey, thanks, John.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Thank you.
Okay, yes, I think I asked you about animals, didn't I? Do animals have primal addiction?
Well,
I know they're territorial.
Yes, they are territorial. That isn't quite the same.
No.
It may well be that some animals have an occasion to do some things which are repetitious. Perhaps they will go and hunt in similar places. Perhaps it is that they will recognize certain situations which help them to overcome their life, help them to perhaps continue their life in a harmonic way. So I suppose you could say that they are using certain primal addictives to help them to survive. And I am not saying that primal addictives are a bad thing, that they are, you cannot treat it in the same negative connotation that you would as people may tend to use in the word addictive personality or addictive trait. That tends to focus the mind upon something which is negatively dispossessed because perhaps of the incursion of the number of times that it is revealed to you or that you bring it about in your own cycle of life. That really means that society has placed a fundamental exclusion upon that cycle, upon that repetitious behavior. Animals tend not to fall into that form of behavior quite simply because they tend to live from one moment to another. They don't actually think in foresight necessarily, although they may. So I have to change this tactic here because obviously you will have animals which migrate from one place to another place. Is that a part of their primal addictive behavior? Well, no, not entirely, because they do that for a cyclical reason of the event of their life stage passage and how it is that they will move from one part of the year to another. They already understand that this is part of their cycle of event, perhaps through learning, through education from other groups. But actually you will find that even in isolation, those animals will actually come together and move within a herd. They will already know that that is something that they have to create to achieve the harmonic in their life and to help preserve their kind, their species. So that is actually quite different to the complex structure that human beings have now come to unleash upon one another in the way that they do. Animals, you will find, do not get angry in the way that human beings do over such a small thing. I understand that if you look at a pack of wolves, that there may be some situations of primal addictive behavior which are thought to be that, but are actually really to do with other behavioral strategies to do with within the hierarchical concept of the group. Something which helps to make them harmonic and completely at peace with the world in which they live.
Okay. So if we are all addictive personalities, really, because the human race is, as you say, what makes somebody actually tip over the edge and go actually to maybe being an alcoholic or something like that?
It tends to be a disturbance of the normalcy addictive personality, the primal addictive, and this is a disturbance which actually leaves someone to being perhaps dependent on a certain thing in order for them to find peace or in order for them perhaps to find a release, a plateau where a human being may realize their goals have been met for that day.
But I know people who come home from work and open a bottle of wine and can have one glass and then put the bottle cork back in the bottle and say, "Oh, I've just got to have a drink. I've had such a bad day." But they're not an alcoholic because they can actually put it back and not drink the whole bottle or even have another glass. What makes somebody else drink the whole bottle not be able to?
Really, because for some people, they actually find that they have to go beyond that, that perhaps doesn't state that response in their minds. Perhaps it is something which moves them beyond that barrier. It isn't easy to define. It can be a number of different situations which have happened in any one day, which actually row the person into not just accepting that one glass, oh, it didn't hit the mark, it didn't quell that anxiousness or that defeatist situation that they faced in that day. Or perhaps they are celebrating in joy of the day.
Yeah.
It doesn't always have to be a negative situation.
No.
It may be that they have celebrated the fact that they have got through the day, even,
absolutely,
in one piece.
Yes, it can be lots of different things. I know we've talked about alcohol before and that this sort of thing on
quite
the show.
Yes.
But I just wondered, it's interesting to think that, I think it'd be interesting for people to realise that we are actually addictive personalities.
In any event.
In any event.
Yes. And that is why I suppose that society, because it has grown to such an extent, there are so many people living together in such confined spaces, that you have to understand that there will be these differences of opinion. People find it difficult to cope with differences of opinion, particularly when they do not mesh well, or they may be completely opposite.
Mm.
And then you have not just a signatory of a person's identity through their behavior and the differences that brings about. You will have situations then where people are thinking to themselves, well, I can't understand why they're doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Just because they're not them. Mm.
Yeah.
And it is actually a product of the society or the civilization that you have in hand. Therefore, as a civilization, is what we are saying, you have to actually take into account all of this and learn to cope with it, learn to deal with it in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And doing this by bringing about a meditative practice, whether it is repetitious or not, it matters not. What you are doing is you are creating an island of wellness away from that addictive personality, that system of always being responsive to other activities around you, instead of being responsive to yourself and your own ability to create change and wellness within you.
Yes, I mean, there's certain things. We have to overcome our need to feel that we have to please everybody. And there's certain pressures that we put on ourselves, aren't there? You know, that we don't feel good about ourselves.
Yes, but I'm not saying that pressures that one puts upon oneself, perhaps in a climate of trying to reach for a different situation or a different conclusion, you would have a person putting in a great deal of activity, responsiveness, a great deal of positivity perhaps into a certain boat. Otherwise, how else is the barrier of life going to be extended to beyond what the normalcy, the primal addictive normalcy of human beings at this present time, how are they going to step beyond it if no one makes the move for change?
If nobody faces their fears, basically.
Absolutely so, and rises above them or beyond them. So it may be that you have someone with an addictive personality, something which is recognized by society and is actually seen as being negative. Yet it may be that person has a great deal to give to that society. It may be their personality trait in one direction is actually something which gives them a certain gift to other people, an insight into an ability to self-observe what it is they are creating. Many comedians, as I understand it, have this situation where they are admonishing themselves, perhaps actually citing themselves as being worthless or having a slight of opinion of them, their own worth in some way, and yet reveal this totally different and opposite characteristic when actually combined with their inner gift of sanctuary that they have found within their life. That people find so endearing.
Mm-hmm. Well, is that because it's an act? So.
Well,
or is that
it is seeing beyond the constraint of the civilized primal normalcy that has become so in demand. Mm-hmm. And that ability to move beyond that state of conclusion is what identifies people with great gifts to give to everyone else.
Mm-hmm. And we do look at other people and we do make judgments about whether we think somebody is, in inverted commas, normal or not. Don't we?
Yes, quite so.
And not even for 1 minute thinking that, well, actually, you're not really either.
Quite so. Everyone has their own state, their own fait accompli of how they're going to behave and what parameters they have already come to decide in their life as befits them, that suits them.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All spirit on our side of life shrug our heads and we think, well, how is it that human beings can continue to do this, can continue to live in this way of restriction, and yet there is still the ability for some to step beyond it and move civilization forward in a productive, harmonic way. Maybe even step outside of the harmonic which has prevailed in that society. Maybe even doing that and seeing something beyond the event horizon of other people's state of mind in order to help society overcome some intensive problem.
Mm-hmm.
Because they couldn't see it, because they were in the wood. They were the tree. They were in the wood. They could not see beyond where the wood finished.
Mm. Yes, and it's a classic example of how we can look at other races, and you don't have to be racist, but you can notice the differences in the cultures and make judgments about that, and call one thing not normal and the other, do you know what I mean?
Change, yes.
Different. But we can't actually look at ourselves, can we? And see it happening around us.
Yes, quite so. There is this great difficulty. It is quite easy to observe perhaps a different race, or perhaps they are living under a certain theocracy or something like that, something which prevents normal behavior as they see it.
Yeah.
Perhaps in the gender experience, as I had explained before. Perhaps it is that they keep females apart from males or something like that, and you would think, well, that is barbaric. Mm-hmm. How could they possibly continue to do that? That is an objective point of view of self, yet it will still be perhaps within that society who makes that objection that within that society there are different ways perhaps of how they treat poor people or how they treat black people. It may be that they are racially divided on a situation of monetary gain. It may be, perhaps, that they are dissident toward another different race. I'm not singling out black people at all. I'm just saying that this is a situation where intensive views of one form tend to come from the birth of thoughts and concepts in childhood behavior brought about through adult behavior toward them. All human beings then bring about this form of addictive behavior because they seek restitution, they seek praise and adulation perhaps, or at least seek that what they are thinking and doing, how their behavior is something which is accepted by those parents, something accepted by other generations, perhaps.
Okay, so one quick last few words about what you feel that we could need to do, really?
Well, the answer really is very simple, as it always is. If you feel that you are entrapped in something of your behavior because of the way in which life has brought that behavior to you, or perhaps has confined you in that form of responsiveness to your life, look for a true release. And that true release is quite simply there at your fingertips, at the tips of your eyelids when you close them. When you sit in meditation, you are able to bring in this well of peace for yourself. As I say, you may wish to chant. You may wish to find that is something which helps you gather this island of peace to yourself. This is something which will help you to breathe, to think more clearly about the concept of your behavior upon others and how their behavior affects you.
Okay. Well, it's been wonderful as usual. Thank you so much, Gregory.
With love and light and peace be upon your eternal flame, friend.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Well, we hope you've enjoyed the show. I'd just like to mention our website again. It's spirit-teaching.com. You can find out more information about us, our books, our CDs, and our Akashic readings, and also the meditation that Gregory talks about. And as well as Spirit's work on bbsradio.com on Mondays and Thursdays, we also have another radio show, which is Spirit Teaching on artistsfirst.com on Tuesdays. My name is Sylvie Avery, and you've been listening to Spirit's Work. And until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.